Did you ever have any real concept of what was involved in becoming a Christian? Did it ever really dawn on you the depth of what God requires of you? We're going to be looking at that this morning just a little bit and try to help you see it's more than just being born again. It's more than just receiving Christ as your Savior. There's a lot more involved in that. We're going to read the words of Paul in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, where he is about to be martyred. Verse 6, 2 Timothy 4. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Herefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do love you this morning, and thank you for your word. May we rejoice this morning in the hope of our calling, to see the depth and profundity of the calling that you have leased into our life, God. Bless your name as we study the word of God together today in Christ. Amen. Whenever somebody uses the term calling, he has this calling or she has that calling. What does it mean to you? There are, for sure, there are many things that God gifts people with. There are many things that are just born. They're innate. They're born into us because God wanted us to have that particular talent. Whenever Moses was about to build the tabernacle and the instruments of the tabernacle, God spoke to him and said, I have put in the heart of several men, he named them. He said, these men are to be the ones who make the tabernacle because I have gifted them with the gift of doing it. And in every one of our lives, we may look at the fact that we're born again, thank God for being born again, but being born again is not the end, it's the beginning. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a relationship with God that's going to last the rest of your life. And as that born again experience begins to grow, just as natural children are gifted by God, so spiritual children are gifted by God. And he has something in your life that he wants you to do. Each of us has a calling. They're not all the same calling, are they? Paul describes the body of Christ as many members. There's the ears, there's the eyes, there's the nose, the legs, the arms, the feet, and so on like that. And Each of these members provides a service to the body, doesn't it? Be hard to get around if we didn't have no feet. You might not think much about those feet until you lose them, and then you realize you really needed them to get around. The eyes have a very special purpose to look at the surroundings and warn us of something dangerous, something good. The ears, of course, for hearing. God gave us five senses so that we could accommodate our life in this world. But he has also given us the Spirit that we might understand and perceive and flow in the kingdom of God. And we have a calling. Now, the point that the Lord's been dealing with me about lately is the term witness. Whenever Jesus was about to ascend, he told his disciples that they wanted to know whether he was going to establish the kingdom right then, which was not his plan. But Jesus told them, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be, this is in Acts chapter 1, I want you to be my witnesses. I'm going to endue you with power by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to be my witnesses right here in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. A witness. The word witness in the scripture, in the New Testament, is the word that we get martyr from. It's very close. The two words are almost synonymous. Martyr. Now, most of us know what a martyr is. He's someone who, or she is someone who gives their life for the cause of Christ. And the original word in the Greek, it describes somebody whose life is dedicated to one thing. And that is, at whatever cost that comes to us, that we are to witness about Jesus Christ, whether it hurts us or whether it doesn't, that we should share the truth of the resurrection. First of all, they were witnesses of the resurrection. Excuse me this morning. I got up, but some of my body didn't get up this morning. a little tired this morning. But what I'm kind of driving at, I want you to see it. There are three different aspects of witnessing. And of course, the first one is every one of us who are born of the Holy Spirit are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen? Not just someone that says the words, but a true witness witnesses with not just their words, but with their deeds. There's a lot of people that can quote the scripture, speak grand words, pray wonderful prayers, but their life isn't worth a hoot. Years ago, I was talking to a brother from up in Cullman County, Alabama, and he said that there was a fellow that came to church one night. A fellow that belonged to that church brought a visitor with him. And during the service, as it was going on, the man who brought him was trying to impress him. And after the service was over with, the man came up and asked him, said, how did you enjoy the service tonight? I said, oh, it was great. So they start fishing. You know, he said, what about the song service? And the guy said, well, that was wonderful song service. And he said, well, what about the preaching? And he said, well, I enjoyed it. So finally, the guy just pointed out, asked him, he said, what about the testimony service? And the man said, well, I enjoyed that too. Well, finally he broke right down and said, well, what about my testimony? And the man looked at him and said, I didn't hear it. And he looked at him and he said, what do you mean you didn't hear it? He said, well, I sat right beside of you, but your life speaks a whole lot louder than your words do. Amen. And if we are saying one thing and doing another, we are a false witness. And Jesus does not deal kindly with false witnesses. Amen. To understand our calling, we must realize that God called you. God found you. You didn't find God. He found you. You might have thought you were looking for God, but he made you think he was looking for him. Amen? He called you for a purpose. He loves you. And he has chosen you for a special purpose. But part of that special purpose is that you testify to others about the grace of God in your life. And you live a life that coincides and backs up that testimony. Your testimony to others is worthless if you live a life contrary to what you're testifying. Now, none of us like to face that, but it's true. We become false witnesses or hypocrites if we do not live a life conducive to our testimony. Right? Now, I want to go a little step further. I want you, the title of this message this morning is Witness for the Prosecution. Amen? How many of you ever seen that movie years ago, Witness for the Prosecution? An old movie, it's a good movie. Won't go into it, but it was a pretty good movie. But I like the title to it, Witness for the Prosecution. Thought I'd borrow it this morning, all right? Is that okay? In our lifetime, we are constantly being challenged by the enemy to break our physical witness. Not just the witness of words, because the devil knows that a lot of people are saying things about God that they've never experienced and never will live. But Paul writes, and I read it to you this morning, I'm ready to be offered. My time of departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. One of the things about walking with God is that Satan is constantly going to be challenging you concerning your faith. Not just this what you believe mentally, but what you practice physically or outwardly. Paul said, I've kept the faith. How many times in your life since you gave your life to God has the enemy challenged your faith? When something bad came along, when something that disillusioned you came along? And right after that, Satan came along and said, well, if God loved you, would this happen? God tells you he loves you, but yet he allows this to happen in your life. Or he will come along and say, now, you say you're a child of God, but there's no blessing in your life. Look at the people around you who are being so blessed, and yet you don't have it. Something's wrong with you. There are so many ways in which Satan comes against us, and particularly when we do fail. I love what my teacher used to say in high school all the time. When somebody would bring up the word perfect, she would say, there was only one perfect man, and they crucified him. Amen. There was only one perfect man, and they nailed him to a cross. None of us are perfect. God knows we will make mistakes. He knows that. Why? Because we're still in this flesh. Although our spirit is walking with God, we are still in this flesh, and this flesh is constantly being tempted by Satan to break the rules. He's constantly there trying to get us to do things. He came to Jesus and tried it, didn't he? He tempted him not just three times, but for 40 days. And those temptations were to get him to leave the faith and act in his own will. The challenge is before us. Whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him, but you have to take a stand, don't you? When God has put a promise in your heart and the enemy is throwing things at you, well, if God gave you that promise, he lied. Look what's happening now. I mean, I've been walking with God for a long, long time. And the devil's told me just about everything possible up to this point. Amen? And I admit, sometimes I thought his argument was pretty good. But then the Holy Spirit would say, no, you got to go the way I told you to go. Sometimes when God has given you a promise, let's look at the life of Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise. But it was 25 years before God brought that promise to pass. Just because God gives you a promise doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. But we do know that God has never lied and never will. And his promises are yea and amen, and they will come to pass. Whenever we look at the concept of living our life, that is probably the most important witness that we have. We have the oral witness to tell people what we know in our heart is true about God. But then we have this natural witness in our spirit. Or we know, we're doing the thing that God is pleased with in our life. We walk in peace, we walk in joy. Aren't we walking that feeling of acceptance by God? And I don't mean that God wants you out there running a race to do something every day, but it's just saying the things that God wants you to say when He wants you to say them, and backing it up by a life that's consistent with what you're saying. Amen. There's an old saying I heard years ago. There's some people talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And if we're going to talk the talk, we got to walk the walk. Amen. It's just that simple. Amen. There is another kind of witness that I want to get to this morning. I'm going to bring up something that I preached on before, but I want you to understand it. Whenever, before time ever began, Satan sinned. The Bible said from the beginning. The beginning is not Genesis 1. That's where man comes into the story. But the beginning is when Satan sinned in whatever, there was no time then, but God calls it the beginning. That's when it all began. That's when God made up a plan to prove Satan to be a liar. One night I was in Sweden many years ago, and I was praying about some of these things. I thought, well, God, explain some of this to me. And I was just in prayer, in the Spirit. I was, you know, the Apostle John said I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And I was literally in the Spirit that afternoon, whatever it was. And I was just languishing before the Lord in prayer, and just, I knew God was listening to me. I just knew He was there. And all of a sudden, a vision came to me. And in that vision, I was taken to the judgment of Satan. And I saw Satan standing before God, and he was being judged for sin. But in the midst of his judgment, Satan, now listen, it wasn't just God. There was a whole host of judges that God had brought in, spiritual judges standing there with him. And whenever Satan stood up in his own defense, he challenged God. He said, if you, now you can live like you want to, and you can live perfect because you are God. But if you will lay down your godness, and you will meet me on an equal footing, become an angel, then I will convince you that I'm right. And God had a dilemma to look at. Was it true? Was it true that the only persons that could live according to God's demands had to be God? Could He really judge the angels for sinning because they weren't God? So this is the beginning of all things. God set forth a plan at that moment to create the universe that we see now, to create the earth, to create the animals on the earth, to create the garden, and to create man. And notice, man was made in the image of God. In the image of God. But he wasn't God. He was innocent. He was without sin. And he was put into a garden where he had to make a choice. And that's what the garden is all about, a choice. I was actually praying about the two trees in the garden when God spoke to me. From the history of the scripture, we find out that Jesus said he knew you before the foundation of the earth. Now that's hard to grasp, isn't it? But he knew you before the foundation of the world was ever made. God made a plan. A plan that he would set man in the garden and let man make a choice. And of course, Adam made the wrong choice, didn't he? Him and Eve together made the wrong choice. They chose to try to make themselves like God through knowledge. And the only way that we can ever, ever have that godliness committed to us is not by knowledge. It is by the life of God himself. Amen? That's what happens when you're born again. The life of God, eternal life, comes into your heart. But what I want you to see this morning with me, I hope it blesses you, is that in God's plan, he went one step further than Satan had asked. Satan said, I want you to become an angel and I'll convince you. He went one step further because man is made what? A little lower than the angels, isn't he? All right? So God's plan for creating man was that in the history of man somewhere, he would put on the vestige of manhood. And he would be God in the flesh. Emmanuel. But the trick was that as a man, he could never use his God nature to overcome sin. He had to face all the temptations of Satan and overcome as a man, not God. If Jesus had one time, just one time, violated that trust, Satan would have went immediately to the Father and he would have said to the Father, I win. Because Jesus himself, the Son of God, could not live above sin without using the God nature, I win. I'm right. But Jesus never did use the God nature. Everything that Jesus did, he did by faith through the Father, just as we do here now. How that we pray, we touch God, and by faith, God brings things to pass in our life. The impossible, the great, the wonderful. Amen. And when Jesus died, he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. Now you have to keep in mind what's going on. In order for God to be vindicated in what Satan said about him, Jesus has to live this life as a man and die as a man. That's why the cross came in. Satan bet it all. He tried everything he could to get Jesus to sin. Couldn't do it. But he bet it all He told God in the book of Job, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. He had Jesus beaten, crowned with thorns, mocked, and crucified, believing that Christ would fail at the last moment. But he didn't, did he? On the cross, he looked down at those that nailed him there and said, Father, forgive them. That's not normally what we say when somebody's crucifying us. We want to call judgment down on them. Oh, God's going to get them. He was more attentive to his mother than anyone. John, this is your mother now. Mother, this is your son. He made sure that his mother had a place to go, a place to stay. And in the last few moments of his life, he cried out the greatest words in history. It is finished. Hallelujah. And it was finished. The moment that Jesus died, Satan was totally defeated. Paul writes in Colossians, the second chapter, and he spoiled principalities and powers in it, meaning his cross. Now the word spoil, it means to defeat and take away everything precious. Satan was defeated at the cross. He made a mistake. He could only bring death to sinners. The wages of sin is death. He made a mistake when he killed a perfect man. And therefore, God says that any person who comes to Christ and is willing to give Christ his wicked, sinful life, if he shall come in repentance, or she shall come in repentance, God will, through Jesus Christ, take their old life, bury it in Jesus Christ, and give them that new life. Amen? Praise God. Now what I'm wanting you to understand this morning is when Jesus rose from the dead, there was only one witness. Only one witness that could stand before God and say, I lived this life without sin. And that was Jesus. But what Satan didn't understand was God was going to multiply those witnesses by thousands and by millions, praise God. And that's what you are here this morning. Amen. This is the last part of the witness thing. I want you to understand that On that day when we stand before God, we are going to be witnesses for the prosecution. Amen? While we're here in this life, we are witnesses for the mercy of God. We are witnesses for the love of God. We're witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But on that day when we stand before God, we are going to be able to stand there and say, We chose of our own volition to let God deal with the sin in our life, the nature of Satan, and we chose of our own will to allow Jesus Christ to come into our heart and to be born again and to live for him and to live our life down and to live his life up. Amen? And every single child of God that has both a witness of his mouth and a witness of his heart will be qualified to stand on that judgment day and add to the punishment of Satan. Amen? How many times has Satan come to you and tried to wreck your life? Just about every day. But what I want you to understand, there's a day coming. It's going to be getting even day. Praise God. Hello? I said there's a day coming when it's going to be getting even day. Because we are going to be able to stand and look him right in the face and say, we denied you, we denied your life, we denied everything about you. We chose to follow Jesus Christ, not you, and therefore you are condemned. And I am a witness of it, that a man can live without pursuing sin and chooses to follow God instead. Amen. You have been called. Now, every once in a while, when you're a witness for a trial, somebody calls you in as a witness, you get a letter in the mail, don't you? Or your lawyer brings it to you, or the sheriff or somebody. And you are conscripted to come to a trial and bear testimony of what you have seen. Amen? And I want you to know this morning right here, consider this, you have been subpoenaed. Not for today, but for a time to come. You have been subpoenaed by God, and you will stand with him on that day. And you will testify of the greatness of God to you, of the wonderfulness of salvation, and how you repented from your sin. Repentance literally means to turn around and go the other direction. We were in Adam. We were going the way of sin. We were living a life of sin. But when Jesus came into our heart, we turned around 180 degrees and began to follow him. Amen. Yes, we made mistakes. But as I've said so many times, a just man falleth 7 times and rises again. God never counts the number of times you fall down, just the number of times you get up. Amen. God knows that Satan's out there trying to trip you up. He knows that. And sometimes we just don't see something coming. We step on a tripwire somewhere. But you know and I know, when I make a mistake, the first thing I do is get on my knees right then and I call on heaven and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. That wasn't my pleasure to do that. I missed you. Forgive me. When you go to the railroad yard, so often when you see these trains go by, people have painted all over them, haven't they? I think they got a special name for that, but they paint all over them. And you sit there at the railroad track and the thing's going by and they don't even resemble a railroad car. They resemble a picture on the side of the road, a big billboard, what they look like. Satan wants to paint you that way. He wants to paint you that direction, that when you do something wrong, that you continue in it. But every child of God that's walking with God knows if you miss him, don't continue down that road. Back up and find him. Amen? Back up and find him. And when you find him, reach up, touch that blood-stained hand. Let Christ wash you again. John says, if we sin not, little children, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And the blood of Christ washes us from all sin. Amen. Praise God. Satan would love to paint you that way, so that you look just like a sinner. But don't let him do it. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring you to that place of forgiveness. Allow Christ to wash you and make you clean. And come back with that testimony. I may have messed up, but I still am not going to follow Satan. I'm going to follow Jesus. And on that day, I'm going to be one of the witnesses for the prosecution. Hallelujah. It'll be so wonderful to stand before him and him realize that there were not just one, there were millions of people who've forsaken the path of sin and chosen to follow after the life of Jesus Christ. I believe you're here this morning because you're one of them. Amen? You're one of them. You're one of God's children. And you're one of them that will be a witness for the prosecution. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise God. All right. Let's pray together. Father, I have shared this morning what you put on my heart, and I love you. I know that we're still in this life and still prone to error. But you've never closed the door to the blood of Christ. It's open. It's there for everyone who would come. And Lord, if there be some here this morning that have failed you, I pray at this moment that they will reach out to you right now and ask you with all their heart to let the blood of Christ cleanse them from all unrighteousness. For we do look forward to that day when we will stand before you and be witnesses for the prosecution. To see the enemy of our soul condemned forever to a punishment that we have escaped. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Pray for us today. Sister Potter and I are leaving right after church. We got to go to Jackson. I got to see a doctor in Jackson in the morning. Ongoing things. You know how things are going. So just keep praying. And do pray for Brother Travis. I got an email or text. I'm not sure what it was. They sent me word yesterday that Brother Leo had been taken to the hospital. They thought he might be having a heart attack. Okay? So keep that in prayer, would you? Amen? God bless you. Keep us in prayer. Amen.